Pizza voodoo, maybe, is what happened in the oven. I'm not really sure. I do know my dad worked a special kind of mojo. And once that oven door was opened, out came pure pizza pleasure.
Welcome to the Pizza Therapy Podcast, a show about eating pizza, making pizza, loving pizza, where we talk about pizza. We have pizza conversations with the famous, the notorious, as well as unknown pizza lovers. Stay tuned. Thanks for joining me for episode one of the Pizza Therapy Podcast. This podcast is all about pizza, but not any kind of pizza. We're going to concentrate on great pizza. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the story of pizza therapy and how my dad was the inspiration for pizza therapy. I'm also going to talk about the Legends of Pizza interview series and the one event which catapulted my pizza journey into the stratosphere. And also I include one of my favorite pizza places in the world. This episode is sponsored by the Pizza Therapy t-shirt collection. You can check them out at pizzatherapy.com/t. That's pizzatherapy.com/t. On the Pizza Therapy Podcast, we're going to be talking about great pizza. Not ordinary pizza, not pizza that is throwaway pizza, but pizza that is great. And I'm going to turn to my friend Peter Reinhart to come up with what I think is an excellent definition about what is great pizza.
My definition, bottom line, definition of what makes a pizza great is it memorable? Does it sear itself into your brain, into your mind? Is it a benchmark wherever you go after that? Those are kind of the, I would say, the characteristic of a great pizza is it memorable in a positive way? There could be memorable pizza that's bad. Could be memorable because that's where your girlfriend dumped you when you went, you know, out for your last date. But I mean memorable because the pizza is great.
Thank you very much, Peter, for laying the groundwork for the Pizza Therapy Podcast. So those are the kinds of pizzas that we are going to be focusing on. For the next several minutes, I want to tell you a little bit about my story in pizza. I have been so blessed in my pizza journey. I've been able to make pizza, of course. I've made pizza for friends, family, and for many parties. I also taught a pizza class at a local high school, and I involved many of the kids, both special ed kids, which were in my class, and other kids in the pizza making process, and that was really magical. Over the years, I've done lots of pizza demos. I've done it for nonprofit groups and gone to other different schools showing kids how to make pizza, Cub Scouts, senior citizens' homes. It's been fun, and it's really been a passion of mine. I've been able to meet some of the most astounding, incredible, masterful pizza makers in the world. More than that, I've been able to interview them. I've gotten a lot of video interviews. I've done quite a few audio interviews. And this podcast really is going to be about our pizza journey, our shared journey. I want to talk about people that love pizza, some of the famous people, but also some of the other people that are not so well known. As I said, I've been totally blessed in my pizza journey. And I want to start back at the beginning of how pizza therapy really came about. And here's the story. Pizza therapy is all about spreading the joy of all aspects of pizza. That is, making pizza, eating pizza, loving pizza, and talking about pizza. The philosophy of pizza therapy is to share that joy and get people excited about pizza. I've been very blessed in my own pizza journey with some of the people that I've gotten a chance to meet, some of the interviews that I've done, some of the pizzas I've eaten, the pizza conversations I've had, and I want to share those magical moments with you. But for now, I want to talk a little bit about where did pizza therapy come from? What's the backstory of pizza therapy? It really comes with my dad. My earliest memories come from pizza that he made. These memories are vivid in my mind. When I think back
I can still smell the pizza cooking in the oven. I can see the bubbling cheese and the cooked pepperoni. I can taste that pizza. It gives me chills when I think back of those early memories of my dad making pizza. My dad had a real unique method of making his own pizza. I never really met anyone who made his style of pizza, and I've never tasted any pizza that even comes close. He's not a professional chef or a pizzaiolo. He was a self-taught pizza man. And to tell you the truth, I don't really know how he came up with the idea of making pizza. He might have learned it from his mom. His mom was an immigrant from Italy. She may have taught him how to make pizza. And all four of my grandparents came to the United States from Italy. On my mother's side, my grandmother, Grandma Palmieri, whose name was Leandina Fratantuono, was born in Italy and came over to the United States when she was one. My mother's father, Antonio Palmieri, was born in Brazil of Italian parents. He moved back to Italy with his parents when he was 17, and he was always hoping to make it back to Brazil. He ended up coming to America and never made it back. He stayed. My mom explained to me that when she was growing up, her family never went out for pizza, and they would never think of paying for pizza. She has fond memories that she shared with me of her mom on many New Year's Eves making pizza for the entire family. And after the pizza came out of the oven, there were stories and drinking and homemade wine. And her favorite quote was what her father said to her. And he said, "It's good, but I want it thin. I like it thin. I like it thin." On my father's side, Grandma Grandi, her name was Teresa DiVincenzo, and my grandfather, who I never met, were newlyweds when they decided to come over to America. All four of my grandparents really felt blessed to be in the United States. And as many immigrants to the United States, they brought their culture with them. Both my parents grew up speaking Italian and English. Their parents brought with them their treasures, their memories, and their roots. The most treasured gift, which was passed on to me, was their love of sharing food, especially Italian food. And I can still hear my grandmother telling us as we go over to eat at her house, "If you don't eat of my food, I kill you," you know. Of course, she never did, but that was the kind of thing. That's how immigrants were. When you went to their house, you were expected to eat. And if you didn't eat, they were very insulted. What my dad would do is stop at a bakery on his way home from work, pick up a couple of pounds of dough, and he would put the dough in the kitchen, spread it out on a cookie sheet, drizzle a little olive oil on it. Then he'd add some crushed tomatoes, garlic, spices, and cheese, put a little pepperoni on it. He put this concoction of pizza in the oven and baked it. Out would come a magical pizza pie. My brothers and I would sit around waiting in anticipation. And I can still smell the pizza cooking in that old electric oven. And this is one of my strongest and favorite pizza memories. Pizza voodoo, maybe, is what happened in the oven. I'm not really sure. I do know my dad worked a special kind of mojo. And once that oven door was opened, out came pure pizza pleasure. It was incredible homemade pizza. Simple, but delicious. The pizza wasn't anything fancy or gourmet. Just a solid homemade pizza. For a long time, we kept my dad's pizza making to ourselves. We didn't really tell anyone about it. It was a kind of our family secret. But I do have a big mouth, and I started to tell my friends that my dad made pizza. And they were amazed, because at that time, no one made homemade pizza. They'd never heard of it before. Very few people ever made pizza at home. So, with my dad's permission, I invited my buddies over to sample his pizza creation. And soon, they would have a bite of this pizza. And they became pizza believers and pizza fanatics themselves. They were shocked, surprised, and satisfied. They had never tasted anything so good. And to this very day, friends of mine that remember those early days of my dad's pizza would talk about it. At first, one or two of my friends would show up, but then they would tell other people, and pretty soon, we'd have quite a crowd of people coming over to try my dad's pizza. And in time, his pizza making became a regular event. He was the pizza king of our neighborhood. I became really popular because of that, and a lot of my friends wanted me to invite him over to try the pizza. This became kind of a life-changing experience for us. Here we were, teenage punk kids, hanging out with my dad on a Friday or a Saturday night when he'd make pizza for us.
And my friends were just amazed. I was amazed. I became very close to my dad because of those pizza-making sessions. My friends talk about it to this very day. He wouldn't stop with just making pizza once in a while. He continued to make pizza all through high school and even into college. When I would leave to go to college, it wasn't uncommon for him to put a box together, and inside that box would be a couple of sandwiches and a couple of slices of pizza. It was just fantastic. And those are wonderful memories of my first pizza making with my dad. Flash ahead to a couple of years. I'm living in Hawaii, and my mom and dad came to visit. And my mom said, "Hey, Al, I know you like to cook. I brought you a pizza recipe that I have, and here's a pizza stone." So I started making pizza right from that very first day, and I found that I had somewhat of an aptitude for it. I really enjoyed doing it. I really had a lot of fun making pizza. I would continue to make pizza for my friends, for families, for dates, and actually the first date I had with my wife, I made pizza for her. And I really had a good time making pizza and really getting into the whole aspect of making pizza. As a teacher, I would make pizza for the kids in my class, and we did quite a few pizza making sessions. A few years later, my dad started to get really sick, and I was thinking of what would be a way that I could honor him. And I started thinking about his pizza making and my own pizza making. And I thought, you know, what my dad was doing was more than just pizza. He really understood that. The magic of pizza is when you make homemade pizza, you sit down and you enjoy pizza together. It brings out conversation. It brings out relationships. It strengthens your friendships. And I was thinking, what could I do? What would be a cool thing to honor him? And I started thinking, hey, you know, what he did was he made pizza, but also there was kind of a therapy, a healing, a process of that pizza. And then it hit me. It was not only just making pizza, but there was a therapy with it. And that's where pizza therapy came about. And so I ended up making a website about pizza therapy. And luckily, I was able to show it to him in the last phases of his illness before he passed away. So pizza therapy really isn't about me. It's about my dad. So if you ever think about pizza therapy, you're honoring him. The website was very Mickey Mouse, very unprofessional. But I found that I really enjoyed doing it and putting it out there. And I found that I had gotten a number of people that were also interested in pizza. So one of the earlier things that I did that was kind of funny about pizza therapy was I had my pizza recipe and I wanted to give it away to people. So set up the website and I put an announcement right on the website. I will be happy to send you my world-famous pizza dough recipe if you just send me a self-stamp addressed envelope. I'm not going to charge you anything. Just send me an envelope with a stamp and I'll send it back. Well, after a year, I got zero responses. Not one person wanted my recipe, even for free. Now, I don't know if people thought it was a scam or something illegal, but it just goes to show you about the power of free, that if things are free sometimes, people put no value on them whatsoever. So I was kind of a little bit disappointed and I thought, what should I do? And I started charging. And believe it or not, people bought the recipe. I started charging at $1, then $2, then $3, and then $4. And I still got people that would send me money and I would send them the recipe. What I eventually ended up doing was deciding that I wanted to build an email list and get people to be subscribers. So anyone that subscribes to the Pizza Therapy newsletter, Pizza News, gets my recipe. And then what seemed to come out of nowhere, I got a phone call from a national brand who really liked the spirit and the content of Pizza Therapy. And they wanted to sponsor the website. which they did. And it was great because they paid for all the hosting, their sponsorship paid for all the newsletters. And for a number of years, Pizza Therapy was looking pretty good because the cost of Pizza Therapy was self-sustaining. They have since withdrawn their sponsorship, but they were there with me in the early days for a long time, and I want to thank them for that. Then I got a phone call from Peter Reinhardt, and Peter Reinhardt had noticed Pizza Therapy and explained to me he was writing a book called American Pie, My Search for the Perfect Pizza, and he wanted to interview me for the book. I was totally astounded. Certainly. So we had a number of conversations on the phone. The book came out. Peter sent me a copy. I didn't get the interview in the book, but he did mention me and my website. And that certainly gave Pizza Therapy a lot of credibility. Then Pizza Therapy was featured in a local newspaper article. One of the food writers invited me to make pizza for her at a local college, which I did. I was more than happy to. And she wrote a very nice story about Pizza Therapy. And then Pizza Therapy showed up in two other books, Everybody Loves Pizza by Jeff Ruby and Penny Pollock, and A Slice of Heaven by Ed Levine. Both of them mentioned Pizza Therapy. Pizza Therapy also got some mentions on other national magazines and, believe it or not, on TV. I was even interviewed by the BBC in Chile about Pizza Therapy, and that was pretty exciting. I then decided to stretch a little bit with having met Peter. I decided to interview Peter and several other noted pizza makers. And I came up with a concept of a series of interviews called Legends of Pizza. For Volume 1, I interviewed Peter Reinhardt, of course, noted bread maker and author. I also interviewed Gary Bimonti, who is a friend of mine, whose grandfather was Frank Pepe from Frank Pepe's Pizza in New Haven. And I reached out to Chris Bianco, who is probably one of the most noted pizza makers in the world. I recorded the interviews, I created CDs, and I sold CDs from my website. Volume 1 was successful. I started with Volume 2. And for Volume 2, I interviewed Brian Spangler from A Pizza Shoals, Tony Gemignani, who was working at the time at Paisano's, who has since become a pizza superstar. He is a world-class pizza maker, as well as Ed Ledoux from Coyote Pizza. Ed Ledoux, who has since passed away, was one of the most interesting interviews that I had done. Ed actually taught Wolfgang Puck how to make pizza and really was the inspiration and the main pizza maker for California Pizza Kitchen. So Volumes 1 and 2 were just very, very successful for me. Really glad that I did it. They're not available, but with this podcast, I'm going to include some snippets from those interviews. And I'm going to include a little snippet right here to get things started. This is one of my favorite quotes from Chris Bianco. He's talking about ingredients and mastering pizza.
No matter how important we think we are, we'll never be more important than the ingredients. I think that that's something that, you know, when we talk about, you know, master bakers and master pizza, I've never met a pizza master, not especially myself. Like, and what I mean by that respectfully is that pizza is something that we never master, and I think that's what's fantastic about it. You know, on every given day, it can kick our ass, and I say that a lot. But, you know, when you disrespect it, you know, it'll disrespect you right back.
Thank you very much, Chris. Always a pleasure to listen to your pizza philosophy. You can discover Chris's very famous pizzeria, Pizzeria Bianco in Phoenix, Arizona, and Chris also has a book out called Bianco, Pizza, Pasta, and Other Food I Like. I'll include links below in the show notes. Well, talking about pizza books, along my own path, I decided to create my own pizza book. I compiled my own recipes, got some recipes from friends, and called it the Pizza Therapy Pizza Book. I offered it for sale as a digital download. Now it's on Kindle, and you can find it there, the Pizza Therapy Pizza Book. Another amazing thing that has happened to me is the amount of gear and pizza books, pizza-related items, pizza stones, pizza peels. I even had someone send me a pizza oven that I have received to review. It's just been amazing. I will get into some of that in later episodes, but the amount of books, gear, pizza-related items I have gotten over the years is rather staggering. One of the other things that really kicked me into the stratosphere on my pizza adventure was going to Pizza Expo. And actually, I went because my brothers gave me a birthday present. And they said, hey, you like pizza? Let's go to Pizza Expo. So we went, and I've gone for the last number of years. It's just been fantastic. And I have had a wonderful time, I must say, meeting some of the most incredible pizza makers in the world. I want to give a lot of thanks to Pete LaChapelle and Bill Oakley, who put on Pizza Expo. They welcomed me there. One year they called me the Pizza Ambassador. I really like that title. And I was able to meet the best pizza makers in the world. And that was really cracked the door for me to get to have conversations and friendships with some of the most amazing pizza makers in the world. Now, what I have done with that, I have a YouTube channel called Pizza Therapy, and I was able to interview many of the very famous pizza makers. I'm not going to list them all here. Go to the channel, check it out, let me know what you think, and I will put all the links of everything I've spoken to in the show notes so you can go back to the show notes and check out some of those links. And so that's where I am. And so now we have the Pizza Therapy podcast. I'm very excited about it. Every podcast is not going to be about me, so you won't have to listen to me tell my story. But I did want to just lay the groundwork from where I'm coming from with pizza. And as I said, I have been so totally blessed on this journey of eating pizza, making pizza, loving pizza, and having pizza the basis for some incredible friendships and incredible experiences. One final thing, every episode I want to just recognize one very famous pizzeria. And for today, let's take a look at Frank Pepe Pizzeria Napolitana, located at 163 Worcester Street in New Haven, Connecticut. They make some incredible pizza. My favorite is the clam pizza, the home of the clam pizza. If you get a chance, check them out. Until next time, this is Albert Grande with the Pizza Therapy Podcast, and the home of this podcast will be at apizzapodcast.com. And again, I'll put links below. I'm calling it Pizza Therapy, but I wanted to move it over to its own dedicated server. So the home will be apizzapodcast.com. I'll have links at pizzatherapy.com, legendsofpizza.com/blog, and anywhere else that I have put my footprint on the internet. Thanks for listening to the Pizza Therapy Podcast. I'll include all links in the show notes for this episode. If you like the episode, please leave some comments. We'd love to hear from you. And remember our sponsor, Pizza Therapy Pizza T-shirts, pizzatherapy.com/t. Until next time, pizza on earth.